May we be helped to begin by singing with reverence hymn 160. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Hymn 160.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, a few verses toward the end of the 11th chapter and also the 12th chapter. Hebrews in chapter 11, commencing at the 32nd verse. Hebrews 11 from verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Yea, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. All having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sins. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not there the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, for a few days, chastened they for verily for they for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may help us in prayer. O thou most holy, great and eternal Lord God, who knoweth how we are gathered once more here around thy word, Lord, we are come together, we trust in thy name. Oh, how we sometimes acknowledge it in song, in thy name. O Lord, assembling, we thy people now draw near. O Lord, we do want to draw near to thee. We do need to. Oh, we beg now, Lord, thou wilt hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Lord, as we come before thee, we may come with sincerity of utterance. Lord, we are sinners. Oh, a company of sinners gathered here, Lord, and thou knowest each one and who really, truly feels their woe. Lord, oh, we are, we trust brought to know by thy grace in us, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Oh Lord, we do beg now that as we come we may have true confession. Lord, thou knowest how we've been reading in those parts of the epistles, Lord, in the first epistle to the Corinthians, that is in private before the service, and in the second epistle. Lord, oh, there in that fourth chapter of the first epistle, and in that seventh chapter of the second epistle. Oh, how we've read things there, of thy truth there, and oh, how we feel, and oh, our iniquity, our foolishness, our wretchedness, our unworthiness. And Lord, how we do hope by thy grace we receive instruction in and from thy word. And oh, that does bring us to come before thee with fear and trembling, seeking reverence, seeking that we may be in the fear of the Lord. And oh, that we might have a due reverence and come before thee, the great God, begging again for mercy. Mercy, Lord, through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Lord, oh, as we feel this personally, some of us, we hope a good many of us, Lord, we come to before thee together, oh, in our common need, as sinners before thee, oh, do look in mercy upon us, Lord. Oh, mercy, we plead, Lord, that alone we can plead, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, oh, the wonder of wonders is that thou hast a purpose to be merciful to sinners, we believe. We trust we have proved it. We need to know it and prove it again, Lord. Lord, that we might know the favour here tonight of thy blessed, gracious presence being here with us. Oh, we beg of thee, dear Holy Spirit, as it is thy wonderful office and work to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to the people of God. Oh, we beg, Lord, for that favour. Dear Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our minds. Open all our eyes. Lord, do come then and favour us here, Lord. Oh, thou knowest how we've heard it pleaded for, that we do so much need to know that favour of thy pardoning blood applied to us. Oh Lord, we need thee to come again and favour us to know our sins are all forgiven. Lord, we cannot take it for granted. Oh, we greatly fear presumption. Oh Lord, we need it again made fresh and real to us by the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us and affecting us and giving us faith to believe. Oh, increase our little faith, Lord. Oh, may faith truly be active in the Lamb once slain. Lord, oh, give us that favour to believe. Lord, thou knowest how the hymn writer in that way of confidence begin the theme, Lord, who we've sung it, Lord. There is a fountain filled with blood. Oh, Lord, we believe there is a fountain. And, oh, Lord, we do want to truly know the favour of coming to that fountain, even tonight by faith. And, oh, to know that application. of thy all-atoning blood to our hearts and consciences. Lord, oh, thou knowest how we have dwelt upon the theme in the context of those early chapters in the Epistle to the Romans, and where the dear Apostle could acknowledge we have received the atonement. Lord, oh, how vitally important it is. And oh, we beg here tonight that there may be souls blessed and favoured to receive the atonement. Oh, the favour known by faith. Faith is the brightest evidence. We pray, Lord, that faith may be given the vital grace for thy people to truly believe. Lord, oh, we know the blessing of the Lord comes with true believing. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, it's those that are wounded by sin, and even their prayers so poor they feel they scarce a prayer can repeat. But, oh, thy purpose is to hear them and to send down answers of peace. And, oh, we pray, Lord, that this may be known as such a blessed reality here tonight, that thy dear people may be blessed according to their need. If now it's the cases, Lord, oh, we do plead with thee that thou wilt shoot a blessing to each case. Lord, thou knowest exactly what each one needs, and thou art able to attend to these cases and bless them indeed. Lord, we pray for it. We pray for it, Lord, with a single eye to thy glory, because we do know through experience that when thy people are blessed, then they truly glorify thee, their God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Lord, we seek it with a single eye to thy glory, thou knowest. And Lord, we beg it may be wonderfully known, and that there might be real holy joy known here in the sanctuary this night. Oh, Lord, what a favour it is, as the Apostle could acknowledge, and we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that holy joy, joy and peace in believing. We pray for it, Lord, that thou would so bless souls here this night. Lord, thou knowest all the things of their concerns and exercises. And thou knowest also, Lord, there are those solemn realities of our troubles, Lord, of heart and our nature and our wretched unbelief. Lord, oh, we do believe, as we have read, that thou hast appointed thy people shall run the race set before them. And, oh, Lord, we pray that tonight we may be enabled to heed the exhortations of the Apostle by the Spirit as he exhorts, oh, that we might be favoured and able to run the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us each, Lord, who knoweth, oh, this is so important, more important than anything else that we are involved in our daily lives. O Lord, thou knowest, we do seek that it may be thy favour and purpose in and among thy people to help them to consider that highest priority of need that they shall know, that they do feel. Lord, may it be such a reality. Give me Christ, or else I die. There's nothing here to satisfy. Give me Christ, or else I die. Lord, oh, we are aware of the fact that among the young people, there are many things that are in their pathways appointed for them, that they shall have to deal with and attend to in their daily lives. And Lord, all of us, there are those things still in our pathway appointed that we must attend to and deal with and be involved in our natural lives. But Lord, do help us each to seek first the kingdom. Oh Lord, do grant this exercise and grant that grace needed to seek first the kingdom and thy righteousness. Oh, the greatest, most important matter, Lord, and interest in the Saviour's blood, my pardon sign and peace with God. May it be, Lord, as the servants of God come to preach before thy people here, and this poor one in our small part, Lord, oh, we pray that we may be enabled to warn and to exhort, and we may be able to preach boldly in love and faithfulness. Blow the trumpet in Zion, as thou hast said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Lord, may it be used of thee to cause sinners to consider and to cry to thee and pray, begging thee, O Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, we seek this with our continuing exercise of burden for souls. Lord, we are concerned for the souls of those we stand before and preach to, and in our families and among the families of thy people, Lord, who knoweth how we carry this continually in that burden thou hast given us, that exercise for souls, the good of souls. Lord, we are aware too that the blood of souls stains deep, and so we want to be faithful and kind, and Lord, preaching thy word and the truth as it is in Jesus, and Lord, to warn, and in that way warning every man. Lord, oh, how important it is. Help us, Lord. Help thy servants. Bless thy servants, Lord. We've heard it testified of how thy servant was so wonderfully helped last Lord's Day. Oh, may there be a flowing on, if it could please thee, even with these poor ones, as I feel, as we follow on. And Lord, oh, that thy dear people here might be as that theme of the hymn, the living family of God, to enjoy salvation full and free. Bless thy word, Lord. Oh, bless thy people. And oh Lord, we pray for the afflicted of thy people, also remembering too and acknowledging thy merciful kindness regarding those who have been brought through deep affliction. And Lord, we do pray there might be manifest in thy time, the nevertheless afterward, the wonderful favour to witness what the Lord has done. May there be those things brought forth through these things that are having to be walked in and walked through, the trial of your faith, the path of tribulation, sickness, oh, illness, Lord, all can be used of thee, thy sanctifying love and mercy, and to bring forth honour and glory unto thy holy, thrice holy name, Jehovah. Lord, we pray it may be so, here and witnessed here. This is what the Lord has done, what the Lord has done for my soul. Lord, we pray for those who are in affliction with pain and suffering as they have it, Lord. Do sanctify it. Oh, do lead them into fellowship with thee, if it could please thee. Oh, that they might know that sacred favour. Lord, what a great favour it is, and how they will acknowledge their thankfulness for the affliction if they know such sacred favour as a little fellowship with thee. Lord, bless thy people. Oh, sanctify affliction. Bring forth good and praise and honour unto thee, we pray. Lord, there are those that are persecuting in these solemn days for their stand for the name of Christ. Lord, we especially think of one and another at this time. And oh, we pray that thou wilt be with them. Still give them the strength. Gird them with that strength for the battle, as thou dost speak of it in thy word. And so that they might stand and be able to show the world who they love and who they serve, not fearing, Lord, that persecution that will come upon us, Lord. We know it was with the apostles that they had joy, that they were counted worthy to suffer for thy sake. O Lord, do so bless thy people that are in such situations of trial. Lord, we've read of those many trials of cruel mockings and scourgings that thy people had to go through, and they all died in faith. Oh, we pray that we that follow on in the new dispensation now, in these solemn days, these end times, oh, that we might be able to bear that that comes upon us and show our love to thee. Lord, we think of Stephen, oh, how we've read of him, Lord, in the Word, in their private reading, and how he looked up to thee and even prayed that thou mightest not lay that sin to their charge, but, oh, looking up to heaven, saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. Oh, help us to live in such a way, Lord, according to what must come upon us, and to show our love to thee. Oh, Lord, ever keep us. We might never deny thee. Oh, Lord, we might never, Lord, flee away from trouble. But, oh, Lord, to kiss the rod when thou chastisest us, or when thou hast appointed, going through the trial, through the fire and through the sea, we believe the theme, as thy days, thy strength shall be. So, Lord, help us each, Lord, we beg, Lord. Oh, give us that leading continually by thy Spirit. Oh, that we might not go our own way. We might not choose our own path. But, Lord, come before thee like Moses did. Show me now thy way, O Lord. O Lord, may it be so now. Lord, and as we are favoured to acknowledge how thou hast led us on till now, like the apostle was able to say, by the help of God I continue to this day witnessing. O, help us to witness what thou art as our God and Saviour, how good thou art, how thou dost so faithfully, daily, favour us with benefits, leading us on, Lord, and oh, help us to sing to thy praise. Our glorious leader claims our praise for his own pattern given, while the long cloud of witnesses show the same path to heaven. Help us each, Lord, to so show it forth to thy glory, that this is the way. Thou to say, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand or to the left. Choose thou the way, Lord, but still lead on. And don't leave us, Lord, till we say, Father, thy will be done. Help us each, Lord, then, we beg. And Lord, as we remember friends in other causes and up and down the land and the little causes meeting, my mind goes to number where we know them and love them, and they're gathered tonight around the Word. Oh, may it be that they shall feel thy blessed presence with them. And in throughout the world, Lord, many we do not know. We pray for them, Lord, and beg thee in mercy. Oh, do be among them, Lord, and what much favour thy people. Oh, that there may be honour and praise ascending to thee, O God. Lord, oh, we beg, so give us grace to endure, grace to persevere, and to see thee by faith, with the eye of faith, gone before us. Oh, Lord, what a blessed theme it is. Oh, what a sweet and blessed thing when thou dost give that revelation. We can see thee, Lord, our forerunner, who is for us entered into heaven. Lord, oh, we beg, may we know thee as such, and wholly rely upon thee, cast our care upon thee. Lord, help us each. We beg now these things, Lord, remembering our country again. Thou knowest our daily confession over our national sins and our continual feeling of sorrow and sighing and crying. the abominations done in the land, and we personally feel solemnly our part of the land and in the land. Lord, have mercy still upon us. In wrath, remember mercy. We do beg all these things, Lord, now, with the pardon of our every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 764. How sad our state by nature is, our sin how deep it stains, and Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. Hymn 764.
Thank you.
sometimes we feel drawn and led to the word here in the 12th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, the first and the second verses. But beginning to read the text as from the middle of the first verse, Hebrews chapter 12, the first verse, reading then the second verse 2, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You will remember how poor, feebly we brought, we felt it so, we brought the word before you this morning, and yet we would not in any way diminish the help. I trust we do receive in preaching the word, but may it all be to God's honour and nothing unto our flesh. But oh, Moses was at that point where he said, and he was exercised by the Lord working in him, show me now thy way. Well, I believe here is the way as set before the people of God. The Lord is the way, the truth and the life. And the people of God need to, and will be taught by God, the Holy Spirit's work in them, they will be looking unto Jesus. And oh, how in this first verse there is the acknowledgement of the great cloud of witnesses. And you know, friends, if we may just break in this point, you know, we have witnesses today. There are those that are witnesses, and I am concerned personally that I might be a witness before the dear people of God and before the world of what I hope God has done in me and for me. We are God's witnesses. And you know, it is a big question, really, a solemn, important question. What have we really shown in witnessing of what the Lord has done for our souls? I felt it on Saturday, a year from when we were there last, and I was feeling, what have I witnessed of what the Lord has done for my soul? And what have I witnessed to his glory before the people of God and before the world? These are solemn questions and points. But here the apostle says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We know that was the great cloud spoken of, written of, the record of in the previous chapter. But also it is, I believe we should acknowledge a fact that there's been a great adding to that great cloud. And we have had those of our families and loved ones and friends in the churches who have been well taught and taken home. I think particularly recently, and I do not feel it is wrong to mention their dear late friend, dear Timothy Rutt, was a wonderful witness, especially toward the end of his life, where his hope was, what the Lord had done for his soul, and especially as he chose that sacred hymn to be sung, relating to the wonderful blood of Christ, the atonement, having the atonement on, and so being prepared and could stand before God, a holy God, in Christ's divine atonement. Oh, what a favour that is. What a witness it is. Oh, friends, the witness of the holy blood of Christ applied to sinners. This is the witness. But oh, here, then, now, let us lay aside every weight. Have you got weights? Have you got encumbrances? Have you got hindrances? Is there that which causes you to linger and falter and fail? to show forth the Lord's praise, to live unto his praise and glory. And in the race that's set before you, oh, there's these encumbrances. What are these? They're our sins, and especially as we would look at the sin which does so easily beset us, like we've been singing regarding unbelief. It's a solemn encumbrance and sin, and it besets us. But oh, the Lord here, through the dear apostle, he says, let us lay aside every weight. I can imagine and feel, and almost as it were here, as it were, you saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't lay aside these weights. I can't lay aside this sin which does so easily beset me. No, I agree. That's true. You can't yourself. But God gives enabling grace, friends. And oh, what we need is in the very essence of it, to pray as it is in the theme that we've sung, desiring, praying to God that he would give us the grace that we need. Remember that Moses acknowledged and questioned and wanted to know that he found grace in the Lord's eyes, in the Lord's sight. And the reality is, in God's people's experiences, God does give grace to his people. He gives them the grace of life. He gives them the grace of faith. He gives them the needed graces of the Spirit to persevere and endure, as we hope to look at. But, oh, friends, he gives enabling grace for his people to follow him and show forth his praise, seeing him by faith gone before, and they go forward in the race that in the will of God is set before them, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Friends, do you really realize and know how God requires you to go forth in the pathway he's appointed for you, and that it might be your favour and blessing to be blessed and favoured and to show forth the Lord's praise in your life here below in the time state, and it be as a preparation for you to be prepared to praise God forever in glory. Friends, I believe the apostle is very much concerned in this, and thus he writes as he does here to the Hebrews, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, it's a very, very solemn thing to be well aware of the sin which doth so easily beset you and me. That we've got unbelief, and it is a trouble to us, a sin, and we know it is. But to be so left in a state to be just continuing to know it and be in it, and to not be concerned to lay it aside, to have it removed, to be able to run the race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. The apostle exhorts here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I believe with all my heart, I hope God has burned it in my heart, that God would never exhort his people by the Spirit through the apostle to this if there wasn't a wonderful way in which they are enabled to lay aside every weight the sin which does so easily beset us. God gives enabling, friends. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for sinners. God gives enabling. We're to call upon our God for this, to plead with him for this, for the graces of the Spirit. And he gives those graces that his people can. They are enabled. Remember, the apostle says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This is something we tend to solemnly, sadly miss and not be concerned to know it and to be in the favour of it. The Lord gives grace, friends. He will give grace and glory. And so I pray and beg the dear Spirit will work tonight and give such an exercise that there might be many here seeking earnestly to be enabled to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. God can give you the grace. God can give you the exercise. God can give you the enabling and even the enabling to be saved from continuing in unbelief. You know, unbelief will continue in us unless God, unless we plead with God that he would save us from it. You know, we need saving ultimately and completely, but there are also ways and needed ways we need to be saving from individual sins as well as all our sins. And this reality of unbelief is a solemn reality. It's a solemn trouble. It's a solemn besetting sin. And it is in the way, in the pathway of running the race with patience that is set before us. Do we really see and understand the truth of the Word of God? The apostle exhorts, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I pray and beg the Lord will give some wonderful light and exercise to each of his people that are found under the word of the preaching of the word through this poor man tonight, that you might be concerned and I might more be concerned. That we might pray for grace, pray for faith, earnestly beg for more faith. It's faith which will bring you to the point where you can say, be gone, unbelief. My Saviour is near. Yes, it's the vital grace of faith we need. We need our faith strengthening, and then we will be able to say, be gone, unbelief. My Saviour is near. The sin which does so easily beset us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us, and see how it is exhortation is important, and what is more, and the importance that flows from it is God requires us to follow him, to show forth his praise. He in great mercy has favoured us, taught us, begun to teach us in our early days and led us on, we hope, some of us here. And he's done it in love and mercy. His love's toward us, and oh, he requires us to love him in return. Oh, we want to be in this secret with what the Apostle John stated. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, may the Spirit work to so give us an earnestness for this, friends, that we may love our Lord. And you know, for real union in the Church of God, it comes when the people of God love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways. We read a psalm yesterday, the 18th psalm. I think it is that 18th psalm. The psalmist begins, he says, O Lord, I will love thee. What a wonderful, wonderful beginning to a psalm. Oh Lord, I will love thee. I think that's correct. Correct me if it's wrong. I think it's the 18th psalm. I will love thee. Oh, do you have this will, this worked in you by the Spirit to love the Lord? Oh, we want to love our Lord. His love, we hope, is to us, for us, toward us. His eternal love, his wonderful love and mercy to us. Oh, as he loved us before the world, he who loved us, Paul said, he who loved me and gave himself for me. Do we love the Lord, truly love the Lord, as we should, because of his great love to us? We love him because he first loved us, to love the Lord God Jehovah, to love the Holy Spirit, to love the dear Son of God, to love God our Father. Do we really have this favour, friends? No, God's love and love him in return. You know, it is something, you know, I am aware, and I would ever be careful to acknowledge the fear of presumption, and I trust it is a filial fear, the fear of presumption. It's something we do not want to be left to. And you may find it very hard to go to the point to say, and be able truly to say, I love the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when you can. Oh, may you each and I ever desire it, to be able to truly say, I love the Lord. You know, I feel I have to acknowledge, I was taught much in my younger days, God stopping me in my wild career and in great mercy teaching me. But it was quite a long time before I could really genuinely say in the fear of God, I love the Lord. But the time did come, wonderfully granted, when I could say, I love the Lord. And I could go on with mind and heart, his people and his ways. And oh, if we love the Lord, we will want to show forth his praise and go on in our pilgrimage, looking unto Jesus. This is the only way to go on. There's no other way. The people of God can never endure. They can never continue unless they are favoured to go on looking unto Jesus. So let us continue, friends, as God may help us to look at these exhortations. Let us lay aside every weight, and they are all the encumbrances, and we need to consider closely and carefully all the encumbrances, all those things that hinder us in the race, all those things, and to have a desire to part with them, to part with all to follow him. Oh, to have an exercise that God would help us to leave this and leave that, where it is an encumbrance, where it is a weight which holds us back in the race, that which deadens us, that which holds us down, and oh, to be made by grace lively, to have a lively exercise, a lively hope, and a liveliness in obedience, and a liveliness to follow the Lord, to live unto him. Oh, to take up our cross and follow him. Oh, to take up our cross daily and follow him. This is what I believe is included here, in this context here, and this truth. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh, in the important way we are in our pilgrimage, oh, to run the race with patience. You know, there are many obstacles, many trials, many dangers too, and many things of tribulation. But oh, to run the race that is set before us. Is it set before you, this race, this journey, this pilgrimage way from earth to heaven, set before you? What a wonderful thing if it is set before you, a journey, a pilgrimage through this vale of tears, as God worked in you to give you a hope beyond the grave, a hope in Jesus that never dies, is cast within the veil. Well, the Lord calls upon you, he exhorts you to run the race. Let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And oh, how he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh, to have these graces we need, this grace of patience, and the needed graces of the Spirit. And you know, it may be in times of tribulation or trouble or loss, we need the grace of submission to submit to God's will, and to so be in that condition, that favoured condition, to not murmur, nor complain, to not in any way have that self-pity, that horrible, awful self-pity that can come. Oh, to be saved from it. Oh, to be in holy fear. To be in exercise to follow our Lord. Oh, here it says, the hymn says, through much tribulation they follow their Lord. And so to run the race with patience, patience, wonderful grace, patience. It is one of the blessed graces of the Spirit, which is so vitally important. Let us run the race with patience. The race set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, it's a very vitally important reality that God's appointed this race. It's set before us. It's God's way that He's appointed. We should go through the veil of tears to a heavenly home. Oh, I'm such a poor preacher, friends, but being told of the message, the message of last Lord's Day evening here, and that wonderful theme of prospect that God's dear servant, senior servant, marched to me. Oh, how he was able to preach to you here and to bring out those sacred things. And so he bringeth us, so he bringeth them to their desired haven. Oh, it's this race that is set before us that God's people by grace will run with patience, looking unto Jesus. Oh, this is the only way. This is the way poor pilgrims go. And oh, how important to be in the way. God puts us in the way. In that early part of that 107th Psalm, I've preached from it a number of times in different parts of the country at different causes. And one time, especially at Uffington, we had a most blessed time in preaching from those words in the 7th verse, where it is stated concerning the way the people of God go, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, how true, wonderfully true and known, proved by the dear children of God. He led them, God led them. He, the Son of God, led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Yes, he leads them forth. And his people are given the grace of faith, the grace of patience, the grace to endure, the grace to seek the Lord for enabling grace to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset them, and to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Yeah. This is the wonderful way, the only way. This only way poor pilgrims can go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do you have some hope that he's the author of your faith? Oh, in those things of your being taught of God, God beginning in you, dealing with you, teaching you. Oh, you will be able to say God's the author of it. It was not the will of man. My soul's new heavenly birth began. I hope I can clearly see it and acknowledge it. Before God, it was not. It certainly was not the will of man. It certainly was not my will, because my will was all set on natural things, pleasures of the earth, things that I was got holding, carrying in ambition in my own mind, of natural things. Didn't want the Lord, didn't feel to need him. But oh, he saw me ruined in the fall. That loved me notwithstanding, always saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh how great. And when we're led into the beginning of the favour to know something of his loving kindness, we begin to praise the Lord. We begin to bless his holy name. This is the reality of real religion, friends. And God will, so he will form for himself a people to show forth his praise. He has formed them and he works in them and he teaches them by his Spirit. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. And friends, do remember, I believe it with all my heart, God can give you all what you need in the enabling grace, the graces of the Spirit, so that you are enabled to run with patience the race that is set before you. We do not want to be preaching anything that is not really solidly, positively true of what is experienced by God's people. God gives all the enabling for his people to run the race that is set before us. You know, there's absolutely nothing you can do by kind of making excuses for this, because God will reject it. He will chasten you for it. God has perfectly set in order in his holy will all that he will do for his people, giving them all the grace. He will give grace and glory. And so there's no room for any neglectfulness or argument or excuse relating to God's people's conduct. God gives the grace, and his people are given that light and that knowledge to need it and to seek it, to seek grace, to seek enabling, that they might take up their cross and follow the Lord, run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm led that I might never bring anything for a child of God to make an excuse and to, as it were, resist. There's a solemn word. There are two places I think it's found relating to resisting God. One is resisting the power, and one is resisting the Holy Ghost. And they're most solemn. I'm trying to think where they are. I know they're in the Word of God in the New Testament, in the Epistles. Resisting the Holy Ghost and resisting the power. Of course, we can never do it. We can never do it. But if we are got a tendency to do it, it's awful sin, friends. It is. God's will is his people shall run the race that is set before them, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yes, friends, these things are solemnly important. And so tonight, let us run the race, friends. May it be our exercise. May it be our concern that we may run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. You know, there's a solemn danger if we are loitering in the race, that we might even in some unguarded moment, if left to ourselves, I know God's people would never be permitted to fall away, and I wouldn't preach anything of any doubt in that respect, but God warns us. He's left these things in his word as warnings, and he says, remember Lot's wife. Oh, what a solemn warning that is. And oh, we'll take that warning. And I believe God will, by the Spirit, will work in his people to make them heed that warning. And he will make them to be looking forward, looking right on, having their eyes looking straight before them, pondering the path of their feet. And oh, the favour, the great favour is when in the eye of faith we truly can see our Lord by faith gone before us. Oh, looking unto Jesus. And oh, he has gone before us. He's in heaven now. He's at God's right hand, looking unto Jesus. You know, if we are favoured, as I trust God's people are and will be, and you will be, each one of you, according to God's will, favoured to see your Lord by faith gone before you. And you know, it's all his life here below. It's all what he went through. It's all what he suffered. And God gives us but glimpses of it. Oh, it's so little we can really know. But even the blessed little is so wonderful. Oh, looking unto Jesus. I've been led sometimes to be looking unto Jesus, remembering him and seeking to know more of him and how he was born in Bethlehem's manger. Oh, to see him there by faith, the Ancient of Days. And oh, to see him in those earlier days as he walked this earth and how he began to suffer. How we know it's set forth in Isaiah's prophecy. Oh, he was despised. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And oh, that solemn word had it, as it were, included there. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Oh, to be saved from that, friend. Oh, to be wanting to see him. Looking unto him. Looking unto Jesus. What awful, terrible, sad shame we should feel. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. That's how we were. He was in our unregenerate state, nothing to us. But oh, friends, now is it you? You want to behold your Lord. Oh, you want to hear the words of John and know the reality of them. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, which taketh your sin away. He who has blotted your sin out and mine. Oh, to see him by faith. Looking unto Jesus. And as he's gone before us, and as he's done all things well, as he's completed redemption's work, as he's suffered and on Calvary, as he's laid down his life, as he's bled and died, in our room, place, and stead, we hope, looking unto Jesus. Oh, God gives you that favour. If he does, I pray he will. I pray he will give us each more of it, to look unto Jesus. You know how he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I'm God and there is none else. And I know that can mean God Jehovah, but oh, it means too, it surely means the Son of God who come to suffer, bleed and die in his people's room, place and stead, looking unto Jesus, the author. Yes, those things you knew, you know in early experience, the author. Oh, in the reality of it, it's the author of eternal salvation. He was equally involved in covenant transactions before the world was. Oh, and in that stupendous plan, God agreed and entered into covenant, oh, to save those he'd chosen, the chosen objects of God's love. Oh, to know you're among them, poor soul. To know you're one of those loved with an everlasting love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's to be led and to understand and acknowledge he, God, the Son of God, is the author of your faith. Oh, those things that God's done in you, given you to believe, given you to know and have hope, and hope in Christ, and Christ made precious to you. Oh, looking unto Jesus, the author, then the finisher. Oh, how our Lord cried out on Calvary's rugged tree, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. The author and finisher of your faith. And that it could be said then, and God acknowledged then, redemption's work was done. And oh, the Lord had brought in everlasting righteousness as he rose triumphant over the grave. He rose again. I believe he brought it in in the very wonderful completing of it all, he rose again for our justification. Oh, the wonderful. Wonderful, blessed truth of it all, of God's great love and mercy. This is the way of salvation. Jesus died that we might live. Oh, looking unto him, we go on in our pilgrimage, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yes, this blessed favour, let us, friends, Let us heed this exhortation. Let us seek God for the enabling to heed it and to follow at the Lord's call the joy is prepared for suffering saints. We'll make amends for all. If you're in tribulation, oh, may it be your favour to be looking unto Jesus. He was tried and tempted too, to succour every burden, tempted son. Yes, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who, for the joy, and I've said this before you before, I have many times been left, been lost as it were in wonder, and I hope, love and praise, that our Lord should suffer for such vile characters that we are made to know we are. But oh, it was for the joy that was set before him. And I hope we can see, I hope God will reveal, give divine revelation of the blessed, glorious prospect here set forth in this context here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, wonder of wonders. But this is the answer why Jesus should suffer, bleed and die for such rebels as he did. It was for the joy that was set before him in the eternal mind of God Jehovah, that God would have his people safe home with him in heaven. A number which no man can number, holy, happy band there before the throne to praise God forever and ever. Oh, there's a wonderful prospect that is seen in the eye of faith as the child of God goes on in the pilgrimage, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, and who for the joy that was set before him, it brings and gives a blessed prospect to the child of God that they will be found home at last in heaven with the Lord. Oh, to be there forever. Oh, you will want to be. You will know his love. You will have that affection, that wonderful free grace of God. Oh, one put it, it has won my affection and bound my soul fast. And it will be such an effect, so effective in you to give you such a desire, a longing to want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And you won't be able to bear that piercing thought. What if your name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? Your prayer, like the hymn writer, prevent it by thy grace. Be now, dear Lord, my hiding place in this, the accepted day. Oh, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, looking unto him and seeing his hands outstretched wide, hung on the cross, suffering there. Come before him there, the foot of the cross creep beside him, like a worm see him, bleed for me. Oh, if God give you this blessed sight, oh, blessed sight, oh, lovely form for sinful worms like me, I creep beside him like a worm, see him bleed for me. You know the dear spirit, God's will, God's purpose is that he will bless souls in this way, giving them to see and believe that Jesus died for me. He suffered, bled and died for me. Oh, God, by the Spirit, will seal this to his people, that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in my stead. You'll be able to acknowledge it then, believe it then, and oh then, truly then, you do have then that divine atonement on you. Oh, your sins pardoned, blotted out. Oh, that holy peace flowing into your soul. You'll be able to say, no, may there be some soul here tonight. I'm blessed, I'm blessed. My rags are gone and I am dressed in garments white as snow. This is what is granted in God's will by the in the favour of looking unto Jesus and beholding him on the cross for me. Oh, he loved me and gave himself for me. He suffered in my stead. Oh, man, oh, miracle of grace for man. The Saviour bled, took my sins. Oh, and suffered in my place. The Father, the Lord, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He's borne the curse for us, you know. Oh, how it breaks our heart. Oh, how it melts us down. Oh, how it humbles us in the dust. Oh, that he should do this. He should suffer such tremendous agonies that we might go free. Oh, that we might be forgiven. That we might be blessed to all eternity. That we might be with God in heaven at last. Oh, bought with a price. Oh, to see him, look on him who we pierced and mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. Oh, and is in bitterness for his firstborn. But oh, he died that we might live. He suffered to put away our sin. He's blotted out all that handwriting of ordinances that were against us, putting it all out of the way. The Father's well pleased. The child of God is accepted in the Beloved. Paul knew it well. Oh, wherein we are accepted in the Beloved. This is the way, friends. This is the way of the favour of God, of sovereign grace. The people of God are saved in the Lord and live then and go on the rest of their days with the blessed prospect of being with him, which is far better. You know, Paul, he come to that place, and we wonder sometimes when we hear of the Lord's people come into the place where they are speaking of the things of the desired haven and so on. You know how near they are to the heavenly city. The Lord knows it's all in his will. Paul came to the point where he said, it is hard to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But we know there was a time yet appointed for him to dwell on earth in Meshach, and he was given grace to wait that time. You know, it is wonderful when we can acknowledge in the theme, as the hymn writer put it, tarry is leisure then, wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power. If you're really looking unto Jesus, he will reveal it. But you know, it will be also good if you do feel an urgency to beg of him, to wrestle with God. I will not let thee go till a blessing there bestow. And oh, how wonderful when we are given that favour. And do truly then rejoice in Christ Jesus and know the pardon of our sins. Know that blessing of God that maketh rich. Oh, to know my Jesus crucified. It will put everything in the right perspective in your life then. By far exceeds out all things beside. All earthly good I can but loss. And triumph in my Saviour's cross. It's triumphing in the victory too, or the grave, you see. Paul does bring it out in his epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle. He says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's there, friends, interceding for us. He's there pleading our cause. He's there as our advocate. He's there as our mediator. He's there as our great high priest. Oh, with joy we meditate the grace of our high priest above. His heart is made of tenderness. His bowels melt with love. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £625, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jempson will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Broom will preach next Lord's Day, and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon, and God willing will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 998. Ye prisoners of hope, o'erwhelmed with grief, to Jesus look up for certain relief. There's no condemnation in Jesus the Lord, but strong consolation His grace does afford. Hymn 998.
Cover with a mantle of thy forgiving love all things of our words and services, Lord. Thou knowest how we feel the need, everything sprinkling with thy holy blood. O Lord, especially our own hearts and consciences, Lord. Oh, that we may know our sins are put away. Oh, we beg of thee, be with thy people, continue with them here, come with thy services announced, and oh, may they know thy wonderful favour and thy presence with them. Oh, that as they journey, they may sweetly sing your Saviour's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.